Good morning. Today is Thursday, April the 15th. See, I got the month right today.
Are you sure it's not June?
Yeah, no, it was February yesterday.
I heard that, and then I think it's more like June. Have you seen the weather outside? This is ridiculous.
No, this is middle of winter. This is.
I had to water my lawn yesterday.
Really? Had to.
I had to.
You just didn't feel like going out. We're doing that just to occupy the dog a little bit. It won't run through there. I'll just stand in the middle of it and watch the rain hit on the water hit.
The ground is so crusty and hard right now. I was more of a getting it ready to water, you know, getting the sprinkler set up for the summer, that kind of thing. But it was pretty dry.
Yeah, I probably have to water the new plants that are in.
Yeah. Well, if you want to keep them alive, it's optional in that regard.
Yeah. It was enough money. I think I need to.
Well, let me ask you: are they in the ground?
Oh yeah.
So step one, achieve. A lot of people just buy plants.
This the tuber. It was September. We got them, and I waited until like about December.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah.
Yeah, the mold had started growing on them. So out of the 12, I think I've got 9 that popped up.
Okay.
It's like, oh man. Oh well.
Yeah.
But you know, one is a success. So we'll go with that one.
Yeah, there's a tubular conversation.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, dude. All right, are you ready for your question here, smart guy?
Sure, yes. I'll tell you whether I'm a smart guy here in a second.
Okay, why do people clink their glasses before drinking a toast?
I imagine that comes from medieval times, and they clink them to get the dirt off the rim or something like that.
That's the true agrarian response. Or maybe that's Arcata, I'm not sure which. In less civilized times, it was not uncommon for someone to try to kill a supposed enemy by offering them a poison drink. To prove to a guest that the drink was, in fact, safe, it became customary for the host to hold out his own glass and to allow the guest to pour a small amount of his drink into it. Both men would then take a drink simultaneously. When a guest wished to show that he trusted his host, he would not pour the liquid, but would simply touch the host's glass with his own. The clinking of glasses before a toast is what remains out of this ritual.
Had no idea.
Yeah. So you can practice that today at school.
And just for the record, I have never wondered why about that either.
Oh, really?
But I'm happy to know now.
I bet you've clinked glasses, though.
Absolutely.
See?
And also the ceremonial tapping of the glass at a wedding.
Yeah.
Yep.
See, some of this stuff is going to become mainstream.
Clinking of the glasses. That's pretty mainstream.
Yeah. Well, I keep thinking, you know, I don't know where trends start or where they don't start.
Well, they don't start with me.
I can remember, you know, people would talk about the shopping show, and I'd say, yeah, we got the shopping show idea, but we put it on steroids. And now it's like it's so commonplace to use that phrase that it's hackneyed and I don't use it anymore. You know, it was like 15, 20 years ago.
Right.
So I will then question, did somebody hear and then somebody say and then it starts to spread? Or was this something that's just going on organically somewhere else and we just kind of happen to have the same idea at about the same time?
Yeah, that's hard to tell. And we also have reinventive memory as well, a lot of us.
That's not called faded memory.
Well, it could go either way.
Yeah. Have you started using the phrases that your mom and dad used when you were growing up?
I plead the fifth.
Okay. Do your kids use the same phrases?
Oh, yeah.
That's weird hearing Stefan and Winston now using some of the phrases that mom and dad had. It's like, oh.
Yep.
Huh. Yeah.
You know what gets me worse is I think about when I was younger and my parents were this age. Holy smokes, they're old when they're my age, but I'm not old.
Dad had a phrase. He said, old is plus 20.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So it's always moving out there. Uh-huh, so, yeah.
That's like free beer tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, I kind of always went with Wimpy. Yeah. Pay you on Tuesday for hamburger today. Oh, gee. So it appears as if the governor and the president are both telling you what to do these days, huh? Isn't that interesting that they're kind of stepping over school boards and laying the smackdown?
Yeah, it is interesting. Well, I think the governor's got a real problem with the recall out there, and I think he's trying to respond to that and you know, work with his constituents. And he has a real problem coming up next fall, from my perspective as well. And here's the latest.
Is he planning to come up here?
The governor?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Well, could be. I don't know. let me give him a call or shoot him a text message.
There you go. Says, yeah. find out what he has to say.
Yeah. So anyway, what I'm concerned about next fall is there is no plan for any type of distance learning at all next fall. Now, I'll go on the record as saying I don't believe there should be distance learning. I believe it should be in-person learning. Now, that being said, if you look at the population in Eureka City Schools, right now 62% of our folks are in-person learning. 38% of our folks have selected distance learning. I've had several student focus groups, and in those student focus groups in our grades 7 through 12, one of the questions I ask of those students, because it's a mixture of distance learners and in-person learners, is, are you planning on doing distance next fall? And most of them say, yes, we are. And I ask the question, why? And the answer to that is because it works better for us. It's not about...
Works better for them. What does that mean?
That means that they feel more, successful. Oh, you would not believe the number of students who never get out of bed for the distance learning. They watch their classes in bed. It's insanity. But here's the deal. Even if we have 38%, like I said, even if we got that down to 25%, if we just simply told those parents and those students, we're not offering distance learning, they're going to go find it. And they're going to go find it in Washington or Oregon or Massachusetts or
yeah, there wherever. There was the big thing with the charter schools. Matole was in Matole Valley, go back 10, 15 years
yes,
ago.
Yes, now Northern United Charter. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I thought that was that illegal, or was that something that stopped because of another reason?
They changed the law. So the laws have changed regarding charters and what they can do. So it is different now.
So it's a charter, not a public. And there's charters, a distinction between the two?
No.
For your example?
Charters are public, but charters don't work by the same rules as a traditional public school does. So a charter would be a non-traditional public school, and they have written in the charter what rules they follow, but they're still funded publicly. They're not like a St. Bernard's, who's a completely private school.
Right. So how would these kids then be able to go virtually to a school in Oregon or Washington?
Just sign up and go.
Okay, so there's still that flexibility.
Well, there's...
At this point.
Well, Ed Code rules California. It doesn't rule other states. So there's nothing that's going to stop folks from going across state lines.
Oh, California just thought they were in control of everything. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck. Fred, the elementary schools also are, you know, you got the high schools, you've got everybody doing this, everybody doing that, and I don't want to lose the thought that we were talking about with next year, but for the remainder of this academic year, are there any changes? Are there more kids coming back? Are you going to have the 4 or 5 day weeks instead of the 2 day weeks? What's that status as it looks through the end of this, I guess we'll call it the academic year, can't even say through June anymore, through this academic year?
Right. Well, you could say through June because we will
or
be
summer school.
June.
Isn't summer school then, part of this year?
You could call it whatever you want. You could call it a pre-start of next year. You can call it an end of this year, whatever you want to call
catch
it.
Catch up, I think, is probably what, yeah.
Yeah, no, we have a nationwide shortage of ketchup right now. But a couple things that I want to go on there. So we are 5 days a week.
I got it. Okay. Yeah, the little packets, yeah. Too much fast food in our life, huh?
Man, you're slow today. No, you're usually right on top of that. What's
going on just, here? What I was doing, I was waiting to be so bad.
Anyway, we are 5 days a week school right now. The one big change that we have coming is in our TK through 3. We've been in an AM-PM session where they do 2 hours in the morning and 2 hours in the afternoon with different cohorts. And so after spring break, next week is spring break, those grades will be coming back to 4 hours a day and increasing the cohort size of those classes. In grades 4 through 12.
To regular classroom size?
Pretty doggone close, because okay. 3 feet of social distancing. And the really interesting thing about 3 feet of social distancing is that our marker for measurement, we use the guidance from the California Department of Health.
Everybody has a yardstick on their
tummy? Here's the interesting thing, and a lot of people don't realize this. It is the center of the back of the seat to the center of the back of the seat. It's not shoulder to shoulder. And so when you do 3 feet of social distancing, for all intents and purposes, that's a regular classroom. We can stick in a regular classroom. Basically, our class size is regulating how many students we can put into a classroom right now. Now, there's some complexities with that, because when we have a student who tests positive for COVID, and we've had several across the district, when you're 6 feet of social distancing, nobody gets quarantined other than the student who was infected with COVID. When you're 3 feet of social distancing, you have to go in and work with the seating charts and figure out
the who circle
was within that radius of 6 feet for more than 15 minutes, and all of those students get quarantined. An example of that
is... Well, everybody is. I mean, you go out on recess, everybody is.
No, because it has
you
to be...
You run around and, you know...
But it's a cumulative of 15 minutes. So when you get into, we can basically do it from fourth grade on up, where we can do a selective quarantine in a class. When you get down below the fourth grade, just like you said, all the intermingling in together, you really can't do a selective quarantine of a class. Because
I thought the little guys, were the ones that weren't getting, and that wasn't an issue, and that you could have them together.
So that's
did I miss something, or is that knowledge evolved?
So the student younger guys get it; they're more asymptomatic. But what the issue is with the younger guys is they're not transmitting it to one another. What the research has shown is that the teachers are the ones who have been the carriers inside of the classrooms. And so the rules are still the same for teachers, where they have to have 6 feet of social distancing from the students. They're not at the 3 foot level. But the little guys can certainly get it. There's no doubt about that. And we've had some younger students who have tested positive for COVID. Everyone that I'm aware of right now really has been asymptomatic, though.
Same percentage as the community?
As far as who, I haven't really run the percentages of how many.
Well,
we've
okay,
had
we
tested,
got what? But say it's 4,000 people. It's less, but say 4 on 150.
Right. I think I heard this morning 3,700.
Yeah.
On 135,000.
So you got 2%.
Yeah, in that neighborhood.
Ish. So what's 2% of your student population? Have you hit that number?
About 80. And so we have not had 80 cases of COVID in our district, although we don't have 80 students in person either. And if a student's not in person, or we have
they probably
80
don't
people
count.
In person.
Yeah.
We don't have all of our students in person, so 2% of in person would be less than 80. So now we're doing complex math, 2% of 62%. So it's about a third, two-thirds of 80. So you're probably talking somewhere in the neighborhood,
45, 50?
Yeah, 50. And we haven't had 50 of in-person either.
So it's even, yes, but it's even less than the low amounts that we have.
Yes, I would say yes, that it's lower than the low amounts we have.
You ever track historically the amount of people that get the cold? Whatever that year's cold is, the sniffles and humble crud, whatever you want to call it. How many kids are out for sickness on that as a relative reference?
Well, the relative reference I could give to that is our attendance generally runs about 95%. And so any given day, 95% of our students are in a classroom on average, so 5% out. You also have students who go out for other reasons and other things, but about 5% every given day somebody's out. And so if you overlap that, COVID is less than that.
Has the attendance, either real or imagined, Lower than that? Higher than that?
Our attendance right now is higher than that because it's much easier to get the attendance. What the law says is if a student logs in for 30 seconds, they get counted as here, and their attendance is here. And then if they log back out and never come back again, they're counted as here for attendance purposes in the district. And so following that law, our attendance rate is higher. As far as students who stay tuned in the whole time and attention the whole time, most grade levels have 240 minutes of learning that's happening. And I'm talking those distance learners now, those students that stay tuned in that entire time, that's less. And the achievement of those students are less, and our grades show that they're less, and our standards.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck. Yes, it's April. I got my month right. I just want to reinforce the fact that I got my month right. It's also, what, Jackie Robinson's first day and the day the Titanic went down.
It's tax day, sort of, kind of, even though it's extended.
Yeah, if you pay estimates, it is. But yes. you just don't know how much it is that you're supposed to pay for estimated.
I estimate you're correct.
Yeah. That's an approximate figure. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, Baywood Golf and Country Club, Humboldt Bay Bistro, and Randall Sand and Gravel. Fred, looking at some of these challenges that are out there, that we kind of touched on it towards the end of the first segment about the state telling you must, the Fed saying you must in the educational system. Well, only until a couple decades ago, there was no Department of Education at the federal level. So, I think that there's probably just a lot of posturing and positioning. Now, whether or not it really impacts, we'll set that one aside. The state now is telling you what to do. But I thought the basic premise of the educational model that is in place is that the local school district is the one that determines almost everything. Textbooks, infrastructure, compensation, leadership, everything other than what the state coughs out as far as the funding. And that's always been kind of a frustration point. Okay, you're drumming your fingers. What do I miss?
No, you haven't missed anything. I was just going to say, a local school board can choose to do anything they want as long as they choose A or B. For instance, textbooks. They don't have freedom of choosing textbooks. You have to choose something that's been state adopted.
It has been blessed in Sacramento then.
You got it. Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Because it has to align with the California state standards. It has to align with...
So it's not the information and how you... It's more how you get the information.
No, it's the information that's in those books. And they review and determine which books align to those California state standards.
So what happens if the tested body... whether it's a class or an individual or whatever, all hits the numbers. But instead of using the Smith version, we went out in the field and actually learned things on our own independently, brought that knowledge back, passed the test, kicked butt, took names, and came in significantly higher than the rest of the state. Would that educational jurisdiction get lit up for not using the textbook or for not even having that textbook?
I don't think they would, because the checks and balances come in if you don't do well, and that's where the concern comes in.
So it is the result rather than
except
the tools.
It is, but you're supposed to follow and use the tools in order to.
So what if you didn't buy it at all, and you took that for field trip money.
You can't do that.
Why not?
Because there are specific funds that are set aside for instructional materials that are categorical.
So you it's not like a general fund dollar.
That's correct, yep.
So it would just sit there and accumulate.
That's correct, yep.
Huh.
So most of the categorical dollars have gone away, but they've really some of them have stuck around, and some of them are creeping their way back in as well. And what a categorical dollar is a dollar that's earmarked and can only be spent on certain things. And it generally comes from, agendas from politicians is what categorical dollars get created from. We have this new thing where most of our funding comes from, which is the Local Control and Accountability Fund, and we have our unduplicated count, and our unduplicated count gets additional dollars that we can focus on those students. So, and we have to follow a plan and make sure that we follow on those unduplicated students. Those are English learner students, our students of poverty, and our homeless and foster youth students. And then, of course, there's
isn't it funny how all these students have been labeled?
Mm-hmm.
I thought what we were trying to do is to get away from labeling and prejudice and things of that nature and just provide whatever makes sense for that kid. Did that disappear with some of this categorical funding over the years?
I think it depends. And you like that answer?
You said you got a contract extension a couple of shows ago. But you okay.
Yeah, it depends. Well, I'll give you a for instance. There's not a categorical dollar for black students. There's not a categorical dollar for Hispanic students. There is a categorical dollar, however, for students who are English learners. In our district, those are Spanish native speakers, Hmong native speakers. Those are the two biggest categories of non-native speakers. There's also a lot of grant funding out there for some of these subgroups. In our district, we receive a lot of grant funding for
Well, that's different because now you're going out and you're reaching and you know the rules.
Right.
Instead of some of this other stuff that just kind of creeps into the
budget. Yeah, that's true.
Budget.
That's true.
A little
that's
different
true.
Dynamic. Mm-hmm. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck. So, Fred, what's the direction now? If the governor is saying thou shalt be in school, in building, are now, the other
now,
states—
now I want to be clear— for next, okay, so you're talking right now, today. Okay, I thought you were talking next fall. So
right.
I'm
so,
with you now.
So if the other states, if Jerry Brown's sister isn't on board and Washington, and pick all the other states that you want to, aren't the same, does that put you at a competitive disadvantage or a competitive advantage?
Depends on the student you're talking about. The students that want in person, we're certainly at a competitive advantage. But the students that want distance, in California doesn't provide the flexibility, which expires on June 30th, to do distance next fall, then we are at a disadvantage. And so, as I said earlier, 38% of our students are in distance right now. I'm anticipating about 25%. So 1 in 4 students will likely want to continue distance learning next fall. If we're told you cannot provide a distance platform, you don't have the flexibility to do that because we're capped at 10% of our students, or 10% of our student population to be on independent study, that leaves 15% of our students out there dangling in the wind of saying, well, am I going to go back to in-person or am I going to shop and find somebody that will provide me a distance learning platform? And I can almost guarantee there's somebody out there that will provide them a distance learning platform if it's against the law for us.
But now, if that's the case, California isn't going to be funding at the 8 or 9,000, whatever the funding level is per
12,
student.
About 12.
Okay, if it goes out of state, they're going to be paying a school district in Oregon. So why would anybody want to take on additional workload without any opportunity for compensation, or would they start charging tuition?
I think they'd start charging tuition. And if you're coming in from out of state, you pay. More
kind of like the college
model.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, that's what I was thinking. You know, if this is as desired as you're indicating, and no question it's not, why don't the colleges and universities do this? I mean, if you could get a Harvard degree and not have to travel across or live in Boston and pay the Boston fees and charges, yeah, you miss the social. But as far as the education, or let's say Harvard Business School.
I would argue.
Extend it. You know, Phoenix is doing pretty good with this.
I would argue you're not getting a Harvard education because the education online is not the same. I'm not a.
Well, I know that's the argument learning. For a lot of the schools say you got to be here.
Well, think about this. Here's my biggest fear. We're going to have students who choose to do distance learning all the way through high school. Then they're going to go to a college and do distance learning in college. And then they're going to select a career where they can work from home. How's that for our society? That's a huge fear of mine. I don't believe we're a social society, and I think that would be very detrimental to where we need to be in the future.
It certainly would alter the game plan significantly, yes, and the landscape would be different also. Better or worse, who knows? I mean, we've always had people that
a whole lot cheaper for companies if they're working distantly.
Yeah.
What I've heard, your HR issues basically go down because people aren't arguing with each other. Your technology needs basically go away because you say if you're going to work from home, you need to provide your own internet access and your own equipment. Your needs,
which might actually drive and push technology into the rural areas, because if you have the option, you're going to live in the middle of L.A. or you're going to live up on a mountain somewhere in Trinity County.
Right.
If everything's the same and you prefer the rural life.
And as soon as this Starlink gets set up and everyone can get high-speed internet with hardly any satellite lag from anywhere, that really opens things up. I mean, take a look at what real estate's doing right now here in Humboldt County. I mean, it's across the nation, but a part of that drive are people that are interested in doing something different and living someplace different.
And I suspect that ours, we've had the conversation, ours is not going to stop. Other areas it might. Ours is not going to stop.
We are a bargain for California coastline.
So when you look at the future of Eureka City Schools, go plus five. What does that look like? Do you need all these buildings? Can you consolidate and have three elementary schools that might be a little bit larger, but taking the proceeds of the others and throwing it into that? And okay, so now you've got more of an academy model, and maybe it's better in the long run.
So
for the kids in attendance.
Right. So use elementary as a great example, because we do have four elementary schools, and so you take 25% of that population, that would mean one of those elementary schools would be offline. And so we're already talking about a model of creating a hub of where our distance learning for the district will be. And that's likely going to be on the Lafayette campus. And
because of the property that's available?
Because the classroom space you have available. And so our teachers will still come in and teach because we have the high-speed internet there and the high-speed connection, the equipment inside the classrooms there. But some of those students will be tuning in remotely.
Well, and you've got the built-in swamp, too, so you've got your bio.
That will be fixed this summer. We're in the process of getting that fixed. You know, every time I drive by there, I drove by there today, and I said, Brian's going to give me a ration about that today.
Just because you see it once a month, I see it 5-6 times a day.
yes. One quick plug before we're done. Gym bid comes in on Tuesday of next week. So we're opening the gym bid on Tuesday, anticipating a start on the new Eureka High School gym right about the 1st of June. So excited about that.
Like there would actually be like construction gear there and ripping
actual
things out and moving
construction
and dust?
Gear there, moving things and dust, yes.
I bet you're not wearing a suit then.
I will be wearing a suit, I bet. Yeah, absolutely.
All the dust in the air. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.